Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to the Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we are blessed that you're listening each week to the Seed of Faith. Here at the Seed Christian Fellowship, our mission is to come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, grow in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. We invite you to come and worship with us on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. In person is at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga. If you can't join us in person, you can always join the live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream and worship with us. Write your prayer concerns, connect, fellowship, worship. If you miss all those opportunities, you can always go to our YouTube channel, listen to and watch, actually, our worship service and watch a weekly message or watch a children's message. Our YouTube channel is The Seed Christian Fellowship. We're doing a series here called WWJS, What Would Jesus Say? This is the topic for our series. Truthfully, Jesus has a lot to say, doesn't he? And they're recorded in the Gospels. I encourage you to make some time and read the Gospels. I mentioned that last week. I encourage you to read through one of the Gospels. You could read a chapter a day and read through the Gospel of Mark in 16 days. Okay, cut it down. Read a half a chapter and go through the Gospel in 32 days, in just about a month. I have a reading plan set out on the Seed of Faith table here at the church. I would gladly email you a reading plan. You can read 5 psalms a day and get through the book of Psalms in a month. And the psalms are for heart wisdom. You can read through the book of Proverbs in a month if you just read a chapter a day. Proverbs are for head wisdom. If you read the Gospels, you'll be filled with the words and the works of Jesus. I know that your life can be changed by the grace and love found in the Gospels. We're looking at 2 little words in this series. Follow me. Simple, but not easy. Follow me. So what? What does it mean to follow Jesus? What will following Jesus cost me? Jesus says these words often, and he says them to a variety of people in a variety of different situations. In the Gospel of Mark, you will find that Jesus says, follow me 17 times. Last week, if you were listening, we looked at Mark chapter 1, 14 to 20, where Jesus called Andrew and Peter, and they left their nets immediately and followed Jesus. A little later, Jesus saw James and John in their father's fishing boat, and he called them to follow, and they left their father and followed Jesus immediately. So what? What does it look like for you? What does it look like for me to follow Jesus? What does it cost us to follow Jesus? Let us turn to our good friend Mark, the Gospel of Mark, and pick up the story in Mark chapter 2. Before we do, let us come to the throne of grace. Lord God, we are here to worship you today. Worship is all about you. Teach us today to listen to Jesus' wonderful words of life, and teach us how to follow him every day of our life. Help us to see Christ in his words and in the works found in the Gospels. Amen. Grab a Bible if you're able. We're going to be in Mark chapter 2, 13 through 17. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. And as he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, the tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many people who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with quote unquote sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to him, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." So here we find Jesus walking along the Sea of Galilee. Jesus found Andrew and Peter, James and John around the fishing village of Bethsaida. It was here in Capernaum that Jesus set up his home base for ministry for the next 3 years. In 3 years, Jesus will go to Jerusalem to die on a rugged cross for the forgiveness of sins. Capernaum was a main thoroughfare for the trade route between the cities and the nations to the north and to Egypt in the south. This would be a great place, a good place to set up ministry. We are told in verses 13 that Jesus went around the lake teaching. Large crowds came out to hear him. We are told that Jesus' mission was to teach. The Greek words for teach in the verb form is didasko. Didasko, D-I-D-A-S-K-O, and it means to instruct or to communicate skills and to educate. We have many educators in our church. It is the goal of teach and instruct students so that their lives will be forever transformed. That is what Jesus wanted more than anything. Yes, it is one of those verbs that has the action that continues and does not stop. We are told earlier in the chapter one, that Jesus went on to pray and be alone. His disciples and followers found him because everyone wanted to see a miracle or a demon cast out or a miraculous healing. Look at verse Mark 1:38. Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I came." Jesus' mission was to preach and teach so that hearts, minds, and homes would be transformed. Jesus could cast out demons. Well, and he did. Jesus could heal the sick and make the lepers clean, and he did. But Jesus wanted to do so much more than the physical healing. Jesus wanted to transform lives spiritually, lives transformed for eternity. What a scandalous grace it is that Jesus came to teach. The scandal of grace, well, is this gospel. The good news was incarnational. That means it comes down and lives in us. Jesus did not sit at home taking calls or texting messages. Jesus went out and actively taught those who would listen. Many just wanted to witness a miracle, but Jesus wanted more than a physical miracle. Jesus wanted to have spiritual makeovers. So what? I always come to a so what question when I'm working on these passages. So what does it mean to me? What do those ancient words mean to me? What is God asking me to do? I always have two questions in my life. What is God doing in me? And what does God want to do through me? What is Jesus doing in me? What is Jesus wanting to do through me? So what? Why do you follow Jesus? How close are you in following Jesus? I saw a picture this week in Christianity Today. It made me think of all the times I've been following someone too close on the freeway. Why do you follow Jesus? How close are you in following Jesus? Those are my so what questions. We're told the story that this is a scandalous grace of Jesus. He came to a man by the name of Levi. We know him as Matthew. Matthew was a tax collector. We need to understand that Jewish tax collectors were the lowest of the low. The Jewish tax collectors were the most hated people in the Hebrew towns and villages. They were considered to be despicable, outcasts, contemptible. They were not only hated for their extortion of money, but they were hated because they were the lackeys of their enemies, the Romans. Tax collectors would not serve as a judge or a witness in court sessions, and to top that, they were excommunicated from the synagogue. In essence, they couldn't go to church. The tax collectors were the lowest of the low. It may be that the contact with this guy named Levi was even more offensive than contact with a leper. A leper's condition was not chosen, whereas a tax collector's condition was. Jesus' message of grace was such a simple message. But in reality, it is, well, it is so hard and difficult. The scandalous message of grace is simple. Follow me. Let me say that again. The scandalous message of grace is simple. Follow me. The word follow is used 17 times in this Gospel of Mark in 16 chapters. 17 times in 16 chapters. The word that Jesus speaks is akouletheo, which is translated, go after, be a disciple, come behind or accompany. In verse 14, the word follow is a present active imperative, which means it's not a suggestion. It's a command, and the action of following is commanded to be continuous and ongoing. Follow is it's a loaded bearing term that describes a proper response of faith. Following is an act that involves risk and costs. Following is something that one does, not simply something that one thinks about. Wow, let me say that again. Following is something that one does, not something one thinks about. Following is an action. What I found interesting is that the word disciple appears in verse 15 for the very first time in this gospel. This will be the first time disciple is used in the Gospel of Mark, and Mark uses the word 58 times in this short little gospel. Listen again to what Mark says. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples. They were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. Mark chapter 2, verse 15. Jesus had disciples and many followers, and there they were jammed into Matthew's house eating. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and we're so blessed that you listen to these seeds of faith. Our prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. If you need prayer, our prayer team would love to pray for you. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon. You can mark down if you want a response. Our prayer team loves to pray, and we would love to pray for you. Jesus is calling his disciples to follow him, and they're all meeting in Matthew's house, and it's packed. That's what we're talking about in Mark chapter 2. So what? What is the action that Jesus is calling out to you? That's a so what question. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what Jesus is saying to you, but I know Jesus is continually speaking. What is the action Jesus is calling out to you? Follow me. But where? Better yet, where is Jesus commanding you to follow? It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. It's a command to follow Jesus. So where is he calling you to follow him? Is Jesus commanding you to follow him in your finances? Is Jesus asking you to follow him in your marriage? Is Jesus asking you to follow him in your health? Is Jesus commanding you to follow him in your relationships, at work, at school, with your family, at home? Where is Jesus commanding you to follow me? That's what he says, follow me, follow Jesus. Come behind me, be my disciple. Accompany me on this journey of faith? Those are some great questions to think about. Did you know centuries ago, a number of workmen were seen dragging a great marble block into the city of Florence, Italy? It had come from the famous marble quarries of Carrara and was intended to be made into a statue of an Old Testament prophet, but it contained imperfections, and when the great sculptor Donatello saw it, he refused the marble. And there it lay in the cathedral yard, a useless block. One day, another sculptor caught sight of the flawed block, but as he examined it, there rose in his mind something of immense beauty, and he resolved to sculpt it. For 2 years, the artist worked feverishly on his work of art. Finally, on January 25th, 1504, the greatest artist of the day assembled together to see what the artist had made of the despised and rejected block of marble. Among the artists were Botticelli, Leonardo da Vinci, Pietro, the teacher of Raphael. As the veil dropped to the floor, the statue was met with a chorus of praise. It was a masterpiece. The succeeding centuries have confirmed this judgment. Michelangelo's David is one of the greatest works of art the world has ever known. Can you see the correlation? Matthew is that rejected, despised slab of marble. People had walked by him and his tax booth, probably even spitting on the booth. The ministry of Jesus is a scandal of grace because Jesus sought out a man no one else wanted, the man who they hated. And like Michelangelo, 3 years of ministry is all it took for Jesus to sculpt Levi into Matthew. That's the scandal of grace. Jesus takes the disciple and the despicable person and transforms us by his grace. In essence, what I'm saying is Jesus takes the flawed, broken people and parts of our life and transforms them by his grace. This is the trademark of Jesus' ministry. Jesus selects nobodies from nowhere and transforms their lives. Maybe you feel like a nobody from nowhere. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. You know, last week we talked about repent, turn around, follow Jesus. Think of all these nobodies that became marbles. Andrew, Peter, James, John, Levi the tax collector, Mary Magdalene. Saul, who was a murderer and persecutor, changed his name to Paul. There are many other nameless men and women scandalized by the grace of Christ Jesus. And all it took was one look. Look at all the flaws, and you can immediately see the good and the beautiful that came out of them. I want you to think about where Jesus is trying to work in your life right now. I always say each week, you know, as I pray for you, and I do pray. I pray every day before I do the programs. Lord, let me have their hearts. You know them. You know where they're at. You know their fears. You know their doubt. You know their guilt and their shame. You know their brokenness. You know their worries. You know their hurt. You know their pain. Lord, come and minister to each and every person listening today. Jesus' trademark in ministry is he takes nobodies, you and me, from nowhere. I grew up in a little small farming community of about 7,000 people in a little town in Illinois. And God has me here doing radio programs. I'm a nobody from nowhere. But through God's grace, I'm here. And that's what God wants to do in you. God's not forgotten you. God knows where you're at, and he's sending Jesus to you. I want to close by looking at what Matthew does. Matthew goes out, and he finds all of his friends, and he invites them to a feast in his home. Wow. I'm sure Matthew had a really nice house. I mean, after all, he extorted money all day long, and here is Jesus at the feast reclining with sinners. Do you get the picture? The Pharisees are scandalized. They're wondering why Jesus would eat with these despicable kinds of people. Jesus get it and responds with a common sense answer. Nope, the doctor does not go to visit the healthy. The doctor goes to visit the sick. This is the scandal of grace. Grace finds those in need. Grace isn't based on merit. You can't earn grace. You don't deserve grace. I'm sure Jesus is blowing the Pharisees' minds when he says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Matthew 2:17. So what? The mission of Jesus is a scandalous grace. The message of Jesus is a scandal that transforms people's life. It's a grace ministry. The ministry of Jesus is a scandal of grace. Jesus searches the dirty old fishing boats for disciples. Jesus searched the filthy rich offices of the tax collectors for disciples. What a scandal. Where did Jesus find you? History records that Oliver Cromwell ruled England, the nation. When Oliver Cromwell ruled the nation experienced a crisis. They ran out of silver and could not mint any coins. Cromwell sent his soldiers to the cathedral to see if any silver was available. They reported back that the only silver was found in the statues of the saints, to which Cromwell replied, "Melt down the saints and get them back into circulation." Wow. Isn't that a powerful statement? Melt down the saints and get them back into circulation. Sometimes God must do that with us. We must be melted down so that we'll get put back into circulation in the world for Him. The scandal of grace is that Jesus calls nobodies from nowhere. Nobodies like Levi, the tax collector, the one who was despised by the entire Jewish population. This nobody becomes Matthew, the disciple, with a ready pen of God who recorded the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew shares the words of Jesus with the very people who hated Him. What a scandal of grace Levi was. All over the world, Jesus is scanning the gravel pits, searching for imperfect slabs of marble that the world rejects. All over the world, Jesus is still sculpting disciples. The world may see a rejected slab of marble, but Jesus sees Michelangelo's David. What a scandal of grace we are. Jesus says, "Follow me. Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men and of women and of children." Think about how Christ is calling you to follow Him today. That's my challenge. So what? Where is Christ calling you to follow Him? Remember, the doctor is in, and His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient for you, for His power is made perfect in your weakness. He came for the sick. He came for the lost. He came to redeem what was lost. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what your struggles are. But I know Jesus. He transformed my life. And boy, I'm a nobody from nowhere. And here God is using me to tell you about the good news so you can go and tell someone else about the good news so they can go out and tell somebody else about the good news. And people's lives are transformed one by one. Family by family, workplace by workplace. We can transform this world by being His disciples and saying, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Remember, Jesus says, "Come, follow me." Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give thanks for this day where we can gather here in Your name. I give thanks for each person listening. You know their name. You created them. You knit them together in their mother's womb, and You said that they're fearfully and wonderfully made. May they know deep in their hearts how much You love them, and may that love transform them. And may they hear those wonderful, powerful, life-giving words, "Follow me." In Jesus' name we pray. My prayer is that you will follow Jesus no matter what, no matter where, no matter when. It's never too late. It's never too late to turn around. It's never too late to come and follow Jesus. Here at the Seed Christian Fellowship, it's our prayer that we will all come to know the love of God, grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith, where Jesus says, "Follow me." I would also say, if you need a Bible, our prayer team would pray for you, and we will send you a Bible. You can email me at PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you this day, and always follow Jesus. You'll never go wrong. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com, or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.